What's poppin'? Welcome back to Building People, where we have edifying conversations about life, ministry, and culture. I am your host, Derek J. Murphy, and I'm so pleased to have you with me today. Before we get to anything else, I got a two-for-one special on a praise report. So by now, you should know that I am a gospel music fan. So on 4th of July, when Kirk Franklin dropped his rendition of Lift Every Voice and Sing, you got to know I was all up on that. The rendition that he released is par excellent. The harmonies are rich and the arrangement is definitely one for the books that not only uplifts and takes us to church, but also gets us to thinking about the climate that we're living in. So great job, Kirk Franklin, for that great rendition. And then on Tuesday, John Prince Key, the king of contemporary gospel music, dropped a virtual concert on Facebook that was excellent. If you are any sort of musician that loves gospel music, you'll love all of the arrangements of all of his classic songs and even some other music that he presents to us with the likes of Zacardi Cortez. Man, John P. Key is a problem. So shout out to him and for releasing that. Not only did he release that to, bring some inspiration in this season, but he is also raising money to feed the homeless in his city. He has always been one for social change and social consciousness. So John P. Key, man, always up A+ in my book. So shout out to my people that are listening through freedomradio.com. If you are listening through Freedom Radio, I encourage you to reach out to me by way of social media, where you can find me at I Am Derek J. Murphy across all platforms. Let me know where you're listening from and what it is that you enjoy about this episode. If you're listening to this from Apple Podcasts, make sure to rate and review. Let people know what it is that you enjoy about the show and let people know that you are enjoying the show, and it helps for others to discover our little bit of inspiration. If you're listening to this from any other platform, make sure that you share this with someone else so that others can hear about what we're doing at Building People, so that we can build this community around these edifying conversations. So whatever you do to help us grow this podcast, to grow this show, we greatly appreciate it, and we look forward to hearing from you. Building People family, I am so excited today. We have this young man that's with us today that he gave me a verbal agreement about 3 years ago to be on the podcast, and it wasn't his fault. It was me. I dropped the ball, but we finally got this young man to be our guest on the show. I consider him a hometown boy.
Yes, sir.
And he is just doing wonderful and great things out on the West Coast. Professional actor and multimedia host, Kelvin Griffin. Man, thank you for joining us, man.
Hey, man, I appreciate you. I'm happy to be on the show, man. Happy to be on the show. T-Town's own.
Yes, sir, Doc. Man, the first question I ask all of my guests is, what do you do to build people and why?
What do I do to build people? I think for me, it comes from a different perspective, because I'm in this sweet spot at 30 where I am starting to rechannel what it is I'm doing in life and actually focus in on it without the distractions. And so for me, I'm very big in politics. I love, you know, the whole political aspect of our country and how we the people are truly in charge of the earth. Because when God created man, he said, man and woman, he said, let them have dominion over earth. So once we realize that we the people have the power, I love to educate them. and let them know, listen, what you're being told is a lie. So let me give you the truth that with hard work, with consistency, you can get that education, you can get that degree, and you can be a doctor, you can be a lawyer, you can be a nurse, you can be a anything you want to be because of your mind and your hard work. That's how I like to impart into my generation. We somehow began to give up easily.
Uh-huh.
And we know the words say, if you give up easily, there was no fight or backbone in you in the beginning.
Absolutely.
So I'm trying to help people lift them up, and I've had to humble myself, D. Uh-huh. I just keep it real. I've had to humble myself within the last 24 hours regarding how I approach people that either don't know, uh-huh. don't care to know, or just don't care at all. And I've had to learn how to approach that in a way that, hey, if I pierce your heart, there's nothing you can do once I get in your heart and show you that, yes, you messed up, but I forgive you and I love you because I'm supposed to love you. And that's how we can grow.
Yeah. Yeah. Well, it's interesting that you came out the gate with that. And most of us know you from being an actor, but you are taking that platform that you've been able to build for yourself.
Yeah.
And you're flipping it to use it to educate the community. Tell me about how did you get started with using your platform in this way? Did it happen post corona, or were you already doing it before we got locked down?
I was actually doing it before we got locked down. Whether it was via Facebook, or whether it was Twitter or Instagram, I was trying to educate and help people understand that, listen, we cannot afford to sit around and just let things continue to happen. We get so indoctrinated with what they want us to believe that we forget that, no, we are meant to be equal on this planet and in this country as well. That's how God created us. And so when you continue to believe stuff and you continue to say stuff and you don't do no research and all that, that's when I decided to say, well, you know what? They watch me on TV. They come and support me in my shows, paying $25 a ticket.
Mm-hmm.
They support me with their hard-earned money. Those are my people. I owe it to them to give them education that they have allowed me to stand on the foundation of their backs in order to get.
So then you've taken on the responsibility. You kind of feel that in you to give back in this way. And I commend you for that. I commend you for that, because so many people in our generation, and I mean, I'm a bit older than you, but in our generation, it's about, you know, taking our opportunities and doing what we can for ours and for our name and even for our legacy without having any thought to giving back. So what sparked that in you?
Once I realized that none of this is mine in the first place.
Man, yeah.
I'm a manager of everything that I have. So how I manage it will determine what kind of life I have.
Woo. Yeah.
If I manage everything in the right way, it don't matter what happens in life. I manage it. Okay, this pandemic is here. How can I manage this pandemic and maximize my potential in this pandemic? What? It's when I truly started to shift my mind that I began to realize, yo, I need to manage my education that I got. I can't sit around and let a broadcast journalism go to waste. I'm in the acting field. I can't sit around and let me being in my word make me feel discouraged because people in my industry are not that heavy in the word like I am. That's fine. I'm going to be different, because when you're different, you shine and you stand out.
Yeah.
So it's when I started to learn that is when I started to realize, yo, I have to be a better manager of everything I have. If I'm not a good manager of it, why can I expect God to increase my territory if I can't manage what he's already giving me?
Right. Man, I commend you. And I didn't really start seeing it, and it may be because of the nature of the pandemic, being able to slow down and see what it is that you've been saying, what it is you've been doing until we were on lockdown. But man, you're speaking truth, and you're speaking hard truth.
It's tough.
Do you feel any possible, because, you know, living in a world where sound bites and tweets and all of these things are, you can delete them, but they still out there.
Right.
And do you feel like the stance that you're taking could be a challenge for your career professionally?
before the before George Floyd, I'll be honest with you, before George Floyd, I think it was a hindrance to my career. Because it was the silent elephant in the room that no one wanted to address. Out here in LA, we face it all the time with auditions that we know. It's funny because I can get an audition from my team and I'll know instantly if it says open ethnicity, I say, oh, they're going to go white. And then I go and watch this now, two months down the line when I see the commercial and I recognize the script, I say, I told you.
Yeah.
And so now it's forcing them to address. Now it is just like, oh my God, what can we do? I said, first thing you have to do is you got to talk to your own people. Because in order for change to truly happen, most people will only listen to somebody that look like them.
Yeah.
And so if you come to them and let them know this is the hard truth that we face, and here's why we have privilege, but you can't see it. You haven't been forced to look at it.
Yeah, I posted a couple of days ago. Actually, it was 4th of July. I posted that you'd be surprised at how many people look at you and say, how dare you be free? How dare you be happy?
That's deep right there. That's deep. Yeah.
And I think that that privilege is that. I think that's, you know, people will see a guy like you doing big things in LA and say, how dare you? How would you have the audacity to come from Arkansas, Texas to California and do well? How dare you come to this audition when it says, like you said, open ethnicity?
Open ethnicity. Yep.
Yeah. Yeah. How dare you, you know, and even if you killed it, they can still, well, we want to go in another direction. Or I'm not an actor, so I don't know this. A broader direction. Is that the language?
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yeah. And it's funny because that out here, that is the number one killer for a lot of actors out here. Because why? They're not walking in their calling and they don't understand why it is they're doing it. They're so worried about this, and they want to get every out. And they think once the casting director, now there's some that are not prepared and then there's some who are good. Nobody has to tell me that I'm good. I'm confident in my talent, but I'm also humble when it comes to knowing the source of my talent.
Okay.
So it changes my whole perspective when I go into the audition. Mm-hmm. And people don't even know it. And so when I get on set, that's when it turns into, wow, hey, we want to call Telvin. Can we have Telvin back for another week? Can we have Telvin back for three more episodes? That's when that turns into that.
Yeah.
Right? Because it's the way that your mindset has shifted to understanding that it is not you who made that audition or made that booking happen.
Yeah.
But it's you allowing him to use you as a vessel so that more people can see his work through you.
Yeah. Whew. Yeah, man. So, okay, maybe we can double back to that a little bit, but I want to get into how was it that you got into acting and what steps did you take to become a professional actor?
So I've always wanted to make people laugh, man. I've always wanted to make people enjoy themselves, smile, you know, forget about any problems that they've had for at least an hour, 2 hours when they get a chance to watch my gifts or watch me share with them. And so all growing up, you know, at my Meemaw Reed's house, I would always have they had the little long purple tubs, the little bins that stored stuff. I would stack them up. And I would have a mic just like this, pretending like I was preaching, pretending like I was singing. And I never knew why people sometimes would always say, you're going to be a preacher one day. You're going to be you. And I was like, oh, I'm running for that. I see how y'all are in church now. I'm running. No.
Yeah, yeah.
So I get to high school and I get asked to host a pageant. I've never hosted anything before. Right. All I had been doing is broadcast journalism, Razorback TV. Good morning, Arkansas. Hi. Today's announcements. We're having turkey necks, banana pudding, and chocolate milk. Right. That's what I did. Right. Razor. I thought I was doing good. You know what I'm saying? I thought, oh, I like this TV thing. Like, it's different. And so I did it. I did the pageant and I had never done anything. But I'm going to tell you something, Derek. When sometimes you just walk out on faith and just allow them to use you. I didn't even know what I was doing then at 17. I'm just doing my own thing at the time. And the room was electric at my high school. And afterwards, two elderly white couples came up to me. And they say, young man, you have a future in this. You remind us of Wayne Brady.
Mm.
That has always stuck with me, and I'll be able to circle that on the other end of this. And so that translated into me going to the University of Arkansas, mm-hmm. pursuing broadcast journalism. I started to fall back in love with sports. Coming up on SportsCenter, can Kevin Durant make it work with the Brooklyn Nets, or is he headed back to Golden State? That and more coming up next. I wanted to do that. But they didn't want to offer me the money I thought from Fox when I graduated in 2012. And I said to myself, you know what? Let me go back to this passion that I really have. And so I decided to go back to acting. And the first meeting I had with an agent in Dallas, he signed me on spot.
Mm.
And I said, okay, God, man, look. Okay, all right, so you're telling me this is the right path. Okay, cool. So I started trusting. I started doing things. First audition I get, Derek, I'm not making it up. First audition, which was a SAG industrial. For my actors that are listening to this, you know that your first SAG audition is a big one, because if you get it, now you're SAG eligible, a hurdle that takes people 10, 20 years to get.
Yeah.
I got it my first audition. And
that SAG is the Screen Actors Guild.
Screen Actors Guild.
Yeah.
My first audition. I booked it.
Wow.
I'm working at Texarkana College, interning, getting paid because I needed a job. Because you know, Texarkana parents, hey, you got to get a job. You can still dream. You're going to get a job, pay some rent, and pay some bills up in here.
Right.
But that was fine because I was passionate. I said, you know what? I'm going to make $3,500 on this job shooting 3 days, and I'm only going to make $3,500 for the whole 12 weeks of interning at this college. So that turned into my next audition was for Chuck E. Cheese, a national print ad. Booked it. I thought, okay, now I'm in the right journey. But sometimes when you get cocky, he got to humble you.
Mm.
So he humbled me, and I had to move back to Texarkana, and I started working at Classic Auto Park selling cars.
Mm.
And it was until I confessed on my knees again and I surrender that, because I was still playing at Mount Grove. I was a minister of music at Mount Grove, so I'm playing. And I said, God, I trust you. I had a car wreck, and it made me severely sprain my neck.
Mm.
This is how I know only in seclusion can you find your purpose and understand what it is for him to do for you. I was out of commission for about 6 weeks, but I said, God, I don't care how hard my neck hurt or how much my neck hurt. I'm going to church in the morning. This happened on a Saturday because I owe that to him for sparing my life. The truck was totaled, right? The guy smashed me from the back, totaled the truck. I hit my head on the steering wheel, whiplash, what they call it, severe whiplash. And so that turned into me getting my real estate license, something that I knew could spark something in me to get out of Texarkana and actually go pursue my dreams and not feel like I'm burdened by staying at home, right, with a job here.
Right.
Right. And so I moved to Dallas, and one thing turned to another. I'm working as an extra. This is why humble beginnings always will beget a prosperous future. I'm working as an extra. Extras, Derek, are like people that they just stand around to make the show look good. They don't say nothing. Mm. They just walk around miming, pantomiming. But because I'm trying to navigate this thing, I started talking with the celebrities. That turned into me meeting Pooch Hall. That turned to Pooch Hall saying, man, take my number, man. Hit me up when you're in LA. And so that turned into me getting in acting classes. So I knew right then I'm going hard, full throttle. I work and do what I got to do until I get to where I am. So I started subbing in the Mansfield School District from 2014 to pay for my classes.
Until so you're still in DFW?
I'm still in DFW, point. Right.
Okay.
So from 2014 until 2016, right, I'm in Dallas. And then I had to go back home for some reason. I can't remember. I think it might have been my roommate that I was living with. He ended up selling the condo, so he ended up moving somewhere. So I moved back home, right?
Mm-hmm.
Around this time, my ex-girlfriend breaks up with me, and then I find out my dad has stage 3 pancreatic cancer, right, all while my aunt and them lose their house in that tornado in December 2015 in Dallas. So everything, the whirlwind is just, it's just coming, right? But I didn't understand what it was. And so I had got a ticket driving, and I forgot about the ticket because I was so back and forth between Chicago and Texarkana with my dad. And finally, I just decided to stay for the 2 weeks that he was there, which ultimately was his final 2 weeks on this earth. And I come back home, Derek, and I'm working in Texarkana doing what I got to do as a medical rep. And next thing you know, I get pulled over after I drop my little brother off at Texas Middle School. and they tell me I had a warrant for the speeding ticket, the arrest. So $200 ticket. This is how I know this ain't nothing but God was trying to show me something. They arrest me. I said, well, can I call my mom so she can come get my car or come get my stuff? And my mom comes and she gets everything she needs. They put me in the car, take me down to Bi-State to book me in, all this fingerprint me, take the picture and all that, put me in the hole to sell all this. I've been down there for 4 hours. And my mom comes and gets me out and I see her crying. And Derek, I don't know about you, bro, but if I see my mom crying, that does something to me.
Yeah.
Because it lets me know that whatever it is that I did, it made her feel like at some point she could have lost me at some point. I told my mama right then, I said, you'll never in your life have to bail me out of jail ever again.
Mm.
And do you know, literally when I got home, Derek, I sat on my couch and I turned on Live with Michael and Kelly and I get a email that says, hey, Telvin, we would like to offer you the role of such and such. 4 hours later, I find out I book a Safelite commercial that now just got renewed this year.
Mm.
So now I'm like, oh, I moved back to Dallas. And I save up, I start dating a girl, and we end up moving to LA at the beginning of 2018.
Mm.
And I said, God, what prompted me to move, Derek, was I had did a play called Fly. I love theater, man. I love it. It's my passion. And that play gets me nominated for best lead actor in a play.
Mm.
So now the award ceremony, the Irma P. Hall Award ceremony, and the guy who plays Basie Skanks in Greenleaf, his name is Jason Dearden. He's the host of it. And he's there, and they get to the award, which is the final award of the night, and my heart is beating in my chest, and I'm saying, God, I trust you. I need a sign to tell me that it's time to move to LA to spread my wings and to really take this thing to the next level. And next thing you know, he says, the best lead actor award goes to Telvin Griffin. And I get up there and I said, y'all, I'm nervous. I'm getting ready to move to LA. But one thing I know and one thing I have is faith. And I know faith without works is, and the whole room said, dead. So I said, I thank y'all. I walked down there. Jason said, Telvin, let me tell you something. Brother, you don't need to be scared of L.A. L.A.
need to be scared of you.
That has always stuck with me to this moment. So I moved to L.A. and I have meetings set up with managers and agents. And my first audition comes around for The Bold and the Beautiful. This is my first audition in L.A. I get a call back. Oh, okay. Call back. Going for the call back. I leave the call back. Me and my girlfriend at the time, we go to IHOP. I get a text message.
Mm-hmm.
Hey, you booked The Bold and the Beautiful for 2 episodes. Mm. My first audition in LA.
Would you consider that to be your first big break?
That was my first big break.
Yeah.
That was my first, because here's a national network television soap opera that is recognizable in the homes of millions of people.
Yeah.
And it was that moment that I just truly began to say, okay, so this is confirmation that I'm in the right place. Now, let me figure out when I and how I need to navigate and move. And sometimes that's trial and error, because you try to dibble and dabble in the world, but then you try to get back on right course when you know that path wasn't the right one. But God said, man, just stay focused.
Yeah.
And from 2018 into 2020, Derek, it has been a peer testimony, bro.
Yeah.
And I owe that to my people to let them know, listen, if you trust him, you will pay the price.
Right.
It's worth it, though.
Absolutely. Absolutely. But, you know, talking about paying the price, I made a list just thinking, listening back to what you just told me about your journey. So you graduated with a broadcast journalism degree.
Right.
And because the offers weren't good.
Right.
You went through, I counted 6 jobs.
Right.
Around a spectrum of things.
Right.
From being an intern at a community college.
Right.
Car salesman, real estate, right. Working for a school district, playing for a church.
Right.
All of these different things that you did before you really got a real good foothold into the thing, the real thing that you were really pursuing. And I think that's a testimony that people need to hear, because we have this mentality that I decide I want to do something, I work a couple of years, and I get this break, and you know, I'm living large, whatever the case. But it's a process. And you had to do what you had to do to make it from point A to point B along the way. And my story is the same way, man. I worked for a shred company driving a truck. I did delivery for DHL, like FedEx. I worked for Radio Shack. I worked for JCPenney's. I've done a whole bunch of things before I got to the place of doing education. And when I got into education, I worked in warehousing for 7 years. And I moved up in the company, got a little promotion, got myself a little office, a little title. And I thought, okay, well, this is where I'm going to be. And I lost that job, and it forced me into education, which was actually, I didn't know it, it was actually going to turn into my passion, where I needed to be. And after spending, you know, about 12 years running from that, is when I got into education, which once I got into education, it opened up a whole bunch of other things, you know, from even, you know, doing this podcast as part of that, that grand vision. But it was all of those steps along the way that took me to the place where I needed to be. And I still got a ways to go. So it's no telling.
When you walk in your purpose and your calling, bro, it will literally expand you.
Yeah.
But it's when you're doing something that doesn't quite sit well with you, and if you're miserable at something, now it's nothing wrong with doing. You have to do what you got to do in order to get to where you're going, because that's the preparation phase. Because sometimes you better be lucky he don't give you what you pray for when you pray for, because it might crush you and kill you.
That's right. That's right. Absolutely.
When you allow that preparation phase to go in, you understand what James says when he says, when challenges come, consider it a joy.
Yeah.
Because it's when you consider the joy that through your faith, you understand that he's shaping and molding you so he can use you.
Right. What would you consider to be your biggest break to date?
The last job.
Your biggest role. Yeah.
The last job I just booked, man, for a Fox called Deputy. And
okay.
I'm going to paint this picture for you real quick. I had, leading up to that audition, I had just finished shooting a cheap TV show called Dynasty. And this was another show, a soap opera on CW, primetime, where I had shot one episode for a week, and then they asked me to come back for another episode.
Okay.
That's when I say your gift will make room for you. Room means opening doors to bring you back to the same job you had. Watch this. I shoot it, but bills, rent, things happen, and I lost it. So now I'm living month to month, overdrafting my account to pay my rent, and then paying it back off during that month. Chase let me get away with that for 3 months before they finally said, no, we see what's going on here. We can't keep doing this. We see what's going on. So you're going to have to figure this out. And so I ended up calling my uncle on the phone, and he sent me some money. But watch this. While I was in Atlanta shooting Dynasty, I got a call from my agent that said, hey, ABC want to see you for the showcase. Now, for those who don't know, the showcase is where Chadwick Boseman was discovered, Boris Kodjoe was discovered, Lupita Nyong'o was discovered, Jesse Williams was discovered. It's where a lot of people, Brie Larson, where a lot of people got their start. So here I am, excited, right? I go in to audition for the showcase, and I started talking with people, and I find out this is their fourth audition. This is my first audition. Which means they have to go through four separate rounds just to get to where they are. And they got dwindled down from 1,500 people all the way to 20 people right now in the hallway that I'm joining as a part of that 20. I'm trying to show you for the first time. Watch this now. I go in. I do what I do. I say, Lord, be with me. I go and do what I do. The whole room is the president of ABC, black lady, the executive, they all laughing back of their seat, man. They was enjoying it. Right. So I said, man, I know I did good. 2 weeks later, I get a call back. I go back in. Now it's just 10 of us now. Same thing happens. I said, I think we're going to get this. I fast forward two weeks later, they make the announcement, and I'm not a part of it. Mm-hmm. I'm loading my dishwasher. I said, God, I trust you. I trust you. Load the dishwashers up. I get back to regular day life. I'm out here driving Lyft. I have to rent a car through Lyft because I don't have my own car. So I have to rent a car. I'm actually was losing money because it cost $200 and something a week to rent the car. But I was just doing enough rides to satisfy having a car because I needed to be able to get to my referee games, my basketball games, so I can make this money and grind and hustle so that I can continue to pursue my dream because failure is not an option.
Right.
So I'm out here doing that, and I get an email from my agent as I'm in Orange County dropping a passenger off. Now, I live in the valley, Derek. Orange County is an hour, two-hour drive in the morning in L.A. traffic.
Okay.
Standstill traffic. I get the call, hey, this audition is shooting and is booking tonight. They flying out tonight, and you shoot tomorrow. Watch this. I said, okay, I'm on my way. I turn my Lyft app off. I'm speeding to the crib to get this audition done. Me and another guy from Dallas got the same audition, but he auditioned for another role, and I was auditioning for one role. So I auditioned, and I just forget about it. I say, God, I trust you. I trust you. I throw it away. I just forget about it, right? Get back in my car, go to my next game in Santa Monica, which is about 45 minutes from my crib. Do you know that an hour in my game, my agent texts me and says, Telvin, you are a top choice. What's your SAG number? Your SAG number is like your ID number within the union that they can know who you are to hurry up and bring your profile up. So I sent her that. I'm getting the game in. Right now, my heart is beating because I'm like, God, don't tell me you about to do this because, man, I'm a tell this testimony until the day I die. My heart is beating, so I'm getting the games in. I'm just not thinking anything about it. 30 minutes later, I think you booked this role, Telvin. They want your address and your such and such so they can book the flight and all this stuff right here. Fast forward 30 minutes later, it's booked. So now the studio is sending the car service to my apartment. So now I got my plane was leaving Dallas, leaving LA at 9 o'clock that night to get to New Mexico. I left the football game at 7. It took me about an hour to get back home to get a quick shower to quickly pack.
And you were then running.
And I was running. And then get to the car service who had already been there for 15, 20 minutes already.
Yeah.
Waiting on me. I got to the airport with 10 minutes to spare to get on my plane. When I sat in the plane, it was 10 minutes left before they shut the door. I get to New Mexico in my hotel. I'm booked in the hotel. The day I'm shooting was October 18th. Ask me what day the showcase was on. Ask me what day the showcase was on.
When was it?
October 18th. Ask me when I was in New Mexico shooting Deputy.
Shit, man. I'm dead.
I wasn't even getting paid for the showcase. I got paid the money that has set me to be able to do what I'm doing now. I got paid that and some for shooting Deputy. So now I'm out of debt. Now I'm able to pay back debt that I owed. Now I'm able to focus, and now I got the role that I needed to put me in the category I need to be taken seriously and more seriously by casting directors. Man, I'm trying to tell you.
Man, and so that seemingly what felt like a failure quickly, accelerated, turned into something that's huge.
He had to say, man, I got to show you who I can put you amongst because I told you your gift will make room. But a lot of people forget what the next B clause of that verse and put you amongst great men.
Yeah.
I was in front of the studio executives of ABC, the people that make the final decisions. He said, I needed to show them who you were because right now you.